This is what we're hopefully going to do in the next few minutes as we come towards Christmas. Just marvel at the story. And we're going to focus in on the first part of the passage read from verse 26 to verse 38 of Luke chapter 1, where God sends the angel Gabriel to announce to Mary that she's going to be the mother of Jesus. And in the story there are perhaps four main characters: God himself, and Jesus, the Father and the Son, that is, and the angel Gabriel, and Mary. And this is a great story, and it's such a familiar story that often, you know, we just don't realise what a treasure it really is. So let's try and just go through it together. Let's try and find out some of the treasures that there are within it. I know that all of us, we like to hear about, you know, what's going on in the lives of people, especially lives of famous people. We can kind of capture our attention when we see, you know, revelations about so-and-so, or, you know, the latest news about this person, or, you know, the latest on their marriage, or, you know, their illness, or their battle with addiction, or whatever it is. And why do we get fascinated with that stuff? When, you know, here is a story that is as contemporary and as relevant as any other, and far more so, and where the people involved and God himself are beyond what you might call celebrity, just on a totally different level of glory. So let's start just with verses 26 to 38. And this is where, I guess, the story of Christmas kind of begins in Luke's Gospel, although the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah comes before that, and the birth of John the Baptist is going to come from that. But just the very first words remind us that we're in history here. In the sixth month, the sixth month being the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Because remember, at the end of the story, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, finds her 6 months pregnant, stays for 3 months, possibly till the birth of John the Baptist, and then goes back home. So this is rooted straight away in history. It's got a time, and it's got a place. And the place is Nazareth. Nazareth is just a little village, very much like many little villages. It's squalid. It's poor. The people in it are peasants in Galilee. And life is hard. Life is hard. Life is raw. And yet this is where the story begins. It doesn't begin in a big city. It doesn't begin in some unreachable place that's, you know, full of splendor, some palace, some important house. It begins wherever people are. It begins with you and me, wherever we are. It's not a story that is out of reach for us. It's not a story that you can't relate to. It's a story for you. It's a story for you to relate to in your own life. And it's a story that begins in heaven, because Gabriel begins in heaven his journey to earth. A few verses earlier, Gabriel says to Zechariah, he says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." So this is someone who knows what it's all about. This is someone who absolutely understands the great picture of what God is doing, of who God is. And Gabriel takes his journey, and you know what that journey involves, we don't know. But it's amazing to think that an angel can just pop into our experience at any time. The Bible tells us that angels are God's servants to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. So that we understand But the angels aren't all just garrisoned up in heaven, but they're actually around us, that there are angels at work in the world all the time, ministering to God's people, which is a very exciting and a wonderful thing. So here's history. It's got a time, it's got a place, and it's a place we can relate to. And we come to the people now. We come to a virgin who's engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. And in today's society, that is itself a bit of a novelty. Because, you know, this is not the way it happens anymore in our society. But here are a couple, you know, who are concerned about sexual purity, where Mary is so clear about her sexual purity that she can say to the angel in a few verses, you know, I'm a virgin. Here's a woman and here's a man who are absolutely clear about God's order of things in relationships, and that they are going to wait until they are married before they consummate their relationship. So there's a purity about this couple, and it's an exceptional purity, and the story shows us that it's an exceptional purity. Now we're never told why God chose Mary. Presumably there was, you know, many women, I guess, many times that God could have chosen to be the mother of Jesus. Why did God choose Mary? We don't know that. But certainly we get a clear understanding of Mary as a woman of great purity, and later on in what we're going to look at, a woman of great submission to God. She's an exceptional woman. And this challenges you and me. The Christmas story actually begins in purity. It begins, you know, beautiful things begin out of purity. Adventures with God begin out of purity. And we want to experience God in our lives, then we also need to be committed to purity in our lives. Now Joseph is a descendant of David. And what that means is that he is descended right down the male line from David. So that he is of the tribe of Judah, and he is, it's important he's descended down the male line, because if he was descended through any woman, maybe the husband of that woman might be from another tribe, and then he'd be descended from that tribe. So if Joseph's mother was of the tribe of David, descendant of Judah and David, but Joseph's father was of the tribe of Levi, for example, Joseph would be a Levite. But it's important that Joseph is a descendant of David and he's of the tribe of Judah, because Jesus is going to be the heir to the throne of David. So he's got to come through the male line. And so Luke is spelling out things here. He's absolutely setting the scenes and putting everything in its place. The virgin's name was Mary. Well, Mary was a very, very common name. It's the name Miriam. And Miriam being, of course, sister of Moses. So the sister of Moses was a very important figure and a great figure in Israel history. It was a very common name. Mary is, in so many ways, just appears to be, you know, such an ordinary person. But extraordinary things can happen to ordinary people. And, you know, we might think that the extraordinary things are going to happen to someone else. But if we do as Mary does and submit ourselves to God, then we are the people to whom extraordinary things will happen. Ordinary people. So the angel Gabriel went to her, specifically, says Luke. And he says three things here. These are three extraordinary things. The first word, greetings, it literally means rejoice. Rejoice, although it was just used as the usual sort of term of greeting. What a lovely way to greet someone. Imagine I went down the street in Kyle's. I wrote a rejoice. You know, it's a beautiful way. It's a beautiful way to greet people, isn't it? Greetings, rejoice. You who are highly favored. Now, this is a rich thing. What the angel's saying is Mary has been greatly favored by God. If only, Mary, you knew how favored you are. That's what the angel is really saying to her. If only you knew how favored you are. And that's a great thing for a Christian, to be able to think, if only I knew how favored I am. Let me try and find out more about how favored I am. This is one of the great quests of the Christian experience, is to get away from thinking in terms of I have to earn everything, to get away from thinking in terms of, you know, there's always a catch, to get away from thinking in terms of people's treatment of me has always had its bad points, and love has never been inexhaustible. It's always run out somewhere. But what Gabriel is saying to Mary is, it's not like that with God. When you're favored by God, then it's like drawing from an inexhaustible well. It just never ends. So, you know, Christians here, you know, if only you knew how favored you are by God. And then the Lord is with you. Emmanuel is the Testament equivalent to that. That's what the word means. Emmanuel. The Lord is with you. God is with you. But this is her reality. Now, you think that after being greeted like this, you know, Mary would be absolutely thrilled. And you would think that she would be, you know, really excited about what was going to be said next. But in fact, it literally says Mary was troubled with a great trouble. She was really, Mary was just deeply troubled, is how it means. Just like, she was in a deep turmoil. That an angel would come to her and greet her and say, rejoice, you're greatly favored and the Lord is with you. All these wonderful things. Isn't that like us? That we can't just sometimes take God's word at face value. There's always a but. You know, there's always a sense of, well, this Bible verse says that God loves me, but there's got to be a catch. There's got to be something about the way God loves me that's going to be really tough or really unpleasant or something. And so we get troubled. And we make the trouble within ourselves. Gabriel hasn't created the trouble for me. Gabriel hasn't done that. She's creating in herself because she's wondering, it says, what kind of greeting this might be. Like, what's coming next is what's in her mind. Mary knows her history, the history of her people, very well. We know that from her song that she sings when she arrives at Elizabeth's house. She really knows her Bible, if you like. And she knows her history. And she knows often that when angels do appear, then there's a job to be done. There's some challenge that people have got to face. Well, Mary knows that. So she's thinking, what's going to happen next? An angel says to her, don't be afraid. Why are you afraid, Mary? I've just told you, the Lord is with you, and you're greatly favored. So why are you afraid? When we read our Bibles, we'll find this command, do not be afraid, more than any other. Why are we afraid? Often we are. Often we find reasons to think to ourselves why things are really not as good as the gospel says that they are. Does God really forgive my sins? Does God really love me? No. Is God really with me in this very tough time in my life? And we make trouble for ourselves. And we get afraid. And God has to keep coming and reassuring people all the time. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Maybe you need to hear that today, because in your life, in this hour, there are troubles. And even Christmas time has its troubles for you. And you need to hear God's with you in this time. And he says again, Mary, you have found favour with God. You will be with child. Now this is done very gently. This must have made Mary's heart stop though. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. So the first bit of the revelation of the birth seems quite ordinary, really, in a sense. It does set Mary's mind wondering about how she's going to have the child. We'll come to that in a minute. But it's a very ordinary introduction to what's going to happen. There's nothing unusual about a Jewish woman having a son and calling him Jesus, because Jesus is the Old Testament name Joshua. And again, just like the name Miriam, it's a very common name in Jesus' day. So nothing unusual at all about what's been said yet. But then the angel begins to really ramp up the odds, if you like, of what's going to happen. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Now this is a son that if you were going to have this son, then you would no doubt tremble. And this is the responsibility that Mary is being given. The responsibility of carrying a child. But look at this. You know, Mary thinks about things deeply, and we're told that a couple of times in the Gospels. She thinks about things very deeply. What God is saying here is already done and dusted. It's already happened in God's mind. It's not like there is any jeopardy, really. It's not like, you know, Mary might miscarry. It's not like the child might die in infancy. Actually, God has already determined the outcome. It's going to happen, says Gabriel. It's absolutely going to happen. And in a sense, you, Mary, you don't need to worry, because God's going to be with your child in the womb and at birth and as he grows up and into adulthood and right up to the moment, although it's not here that it says this, right up to that moment when he will be without God as he dies for our sins. God's going to be with them. It's all determined. And again, as Christians, our lives are like that. As Christians, you know, we worry a great deal. You know, how can I keep going here? And what if I fall? And sometimes we do fall. And what if I struggle? And what if I fail? But God has got the story written. And he promises eternal life to those who put their trust in Jesus. And a forever story. Just like this is a forever story. Our forever story as Christians is that this Jesus who we're reading about here is our Lord, is our King, and is going to be ours forever, as the story says. And the words forever there, there's two words there actually. The word forever means into the ages. Now, Jesus is going to reign into the ages to come. And his kingdom will never end. It'll never kind of hit a brick wall. It'll never come to a stop. It just keeps going. It keeps going forever. So what's happening here is the beginning of a forever story. And what happens when we become Christians is also the beginning of a forever story. And God doesn't let our forever stories hit a brick wall. He lets them run on into the ages and the ages to come. This is the greatness of this story that we read about at Christmas time. But then Mary says, well, how can this happen? And what she literally says, I mean, there is a word in the Bible for virgin, the word parthenos. Maybe come across the Parthenon, for example, place of virgins. Parthenos. But what she actually says here is, how can this be? And the Authorised Version translates this, since I know not a man. That's how it puts it. And actually what she literally says is, how can this be since I'm not knowing a man? And she's just able to state that again, that purity, that complete and absolute sense of, you know, I am not going to have a child. Either it's going to happen after I get married, or it can't happen. But the angel says it can happen before you get married. Because something remarkable is going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. I wonder, did Mary know when that moment took place? I've heard women say that they knew the time when they conceived. I wonder, did Mary have that sense? You know, the way the woman who was healed felt within her body that she was healed. I wonder, did Mary know that moment? Because often when the power of the Holy Spirit does come upon us, we know that. And this is it happening. This is what God promised. And it's completely without any human aid. This is God working in me. What a holy and what a wonderful moment that would have been for Mary, as inside her is conceived the one who is going to be called the Son of God. And all by the power of God. This is a new beginning. Jesus is not going to have any actual physical relationship to Joseph. Joseph is not Jesus' father. He will be Jesus' legal father. So sometimes the gospel refers to him as Jesus' father, because he's the legal father. But he's not the biological father. God works in Mary so that Mary has a child. It's her child, but it's God's child. And I guess if you were able to, as we can today, take a swab of Jesus' saliva or whatever and look at his DNA, you know, you could see the relationship to Mary, but not to Joseph, because this is the Son of God. God has done a wonderful thing. This is a new beginning. There's a break with the male line of carrying the guilt of sin. This is an innocent child. So a child doesn't inherit anything sinful or evil. This is a child who does inherit our nature, but he doesn't inherit the guilt of ancestors, the guilt of Adam. This is a child who is absolutely a new beginning for God to do a new thing. And then, just as we bring the story to a close, the angel tells her something else. And I think this is a very gracious thing for Gabriel to do. Gabriel didn't need to tell Mary about Elizabeth. And Mary could have been in the dark about Elizabeth for a long time. But Gabriel says, you know, and this is to help her, so that she will make this journey to the hill country of Judea to meet her relative and to see the wonder and the miracle of what God's doing in Elizabeth's life. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be barren, is in her 6th month. And in his wonderful words, for nothing is impossible with God. And what is said there actually is, no word from God is not impossible. If I got that right. No word from God is impossible. Now, let me just get this right, because it's quite amazing the way he puts it. Each word of God will not be impossible. Literally what the angel says to Mary. Each word from God will not be impossible. So if God says something, it won't be impossible. People will say it's impossible. And it's impossible that Jesus would return again. It's impossible for God to forgive my sins. It's impossible for God to make a new heavens and a new earth. But God has said all of these things, so they're not impossible. People make them impossible because we limit God to our own size and shape and capabilities, what we're familiar with. But the story that we read about at Christmas is a story of things that seem impossible, like a virgin giving birth to a child, or that child being the Son of God, that child ruling forever and ever. These things are, in our minds, impossible. We must get used to the impossible with God. Because if God says something, and you read through the Bible and you say, you know, God has said some very, very wonderful things. And God said wonderful things to you as a Christian. It's not impossible. God will do what he said. And so that's why Mary at the end says, may it be to me as you have said. The word that you've said that sounds impossible and you say is not impossible, well, do it. Let it happen. Let it be to me as you have said. There's an amazing sense in Mary here of acceptance. Now, I imagine this encounter took place over a very short time. I think Luke probably gives us a great amount of what actually would have been said, maybe pretty much all of what was said in this encounter. And so maybe only over a few minutes, a couple of minutes, not very long at all. And yet in that time, Mary composes herself. And in that time, despite the fact that her heart is racing and she's with an angel, Mary accepts and Mary submits. I am the Lord's servant. And this is what we are. And if we have received salvation through Jesus Christ, we know that we're accepted by God. We're loved by God. God's promises and his words to us, unlikely though they may sound at times, they're going to be fulfilled. And we need to calmly accept them. And we need to calmly submit ourselves entirely to God. So it's easy to say the words, but we need to really, really, really reaffirm them constantly in the times when it's so easy to be tempted to go astray. We need to say, but I come back to what I said. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant when I'm tempted. I am the Lord's servant when I'm struggling, when I'm suffering, when I'm afraid, when I'm depressed and discouraged. I am the Lord's servant, and I just want to submit entirely my life to him. I don't need to be afraid. Yeah, one of the things that I've actually made a note already for next year is to preach on the theme of fear at Christmas. Because there's so much fear in the Christmas story. There are so many people get afraid in the Christmas story. And we get afraid. It's part of our story. What about the future? You know, what about money? Will I have enough? You know, where will I live? What's going to happen to my children? You know, how are we going to face this? What if someone finds out? We've got lots of questions going around in our heads today. And it's so easy to be afraid. But here's the answer. Here's the key. Submit your life into God's hands and let him fulfill his words in you. The experience of doing that may pass. The angel left her, and she was left then with everything around her looking totally ordinary. And probably a few minutes later, the tempter would come to her and say, Mary, did that really happen? You sure about that? And that's where we need to be, just constantly resubmitting to God and trusting Him to get us through the scary bits, the uncertain bits, the traumatic bits of life. May it be to me, as you have said, my Heavenly Father, who has sent your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, into this world for me and for my salvation, who has given to me eternal life. His kingdom will never end, and I'm in it. And who has given me great news that I can share with others in their fear and in their need, that they too may have the opportunity to receive the Lord and be His servants too. Almighty Father, help me to trust you today, throughout this day and each day, and help me to know that what you've promised, you will fulfill. You will not let me down. You will not let me go. No one can snatch me from your hands. Hallelujah.